Let's get into the message. Most of us like to receive mail. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, those business correspondence, the bills, or the letters that get sent to us on a monthly basis. I'm not even talking about the piles and piles of junk mail that we receive. You know, those advertisements or those people who are sending you things saying, hey, you should buy my product or you should try this. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. Most of that junk mail, we don't even bother to open it. We look at it and go, that, and throw it away. And we never see that. In today's society, we have email. Some of you will know what that is. It works kind of the same way, but on a faster basis. We get important email messages from friends, from family members, and we can't wait to open it, to correspond with them. Somebody wants to communicate with me, and we communicate back and forth. It's even better. We have text messaging, instantly response. James is on his way to the Philippines. I didn't ask him for permission to this. When we were there in October, he met a girl, kind of, okay? And he is going there now to meet this girl a little bit more, this young lady. And since he's been here, they've been able to video chat. They can get on the phone. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night for her, sometimes in the middle of the night. But can you imagine getting on your phone and calling somebody and being able to see them face to face and just communicating with them? It's amazing. Do you realize that today, as we continue working our way through Acts, you've got mail? We're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 48. See, God has spoken to mankind throughout all of history. He has used creation and nature. He has used prophets and teachers, writers. He has used direct revelations to people, visions, dreams, events. The list goes on and on. God has spoken to us, to mankind, so that we would get to know who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. God has something to say to each and every one of us every day. In fact, if you would listen close enough, you might just hear a little voice say, "You've got mail." God has specific messages for each of us. If we would just open our mail and read it. However, He also has a message that He wants to send to every single person on this earth. Some treat it like junk mail. They either throw it away or they just hit delete, never even bother to look at it. Some people will go and they'll put up all these filters so that doesn't come through. They treat it like spam. The kind of email you throw away, not the food you eat, okay? This morning we want to talk about God's message to you. So if you have your Bibles open, if you would please stand, we're going to read through Acts chapter 10, verse 23 through 48. It is quite a long reading. If you have to sit, by all means, go ahead. That's fine. It reads like this. Let me paraphrase and get going. Cornelius has sent for Peter, and Peter is now traveling to where Cornelius is. Verse 23, the middle of it begins and says, "The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. 'Stand up,' he said. 'I am only a man myself.' While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, 'You are all aware, you are all well aware, that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?' Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shiny clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all? You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Thank you. You may all be seated. Whew, that was a lot of reading there. See, God, he has an instant message of love that he wants to send to everyone. What is the message that God wants for every person to hear? Well, here's the message from God for you. I want to read some of the excerpts that we just read through, and then we'll talk about some of the important things that God wants you to know about his son, Jesus. See, the very first thing is that Jesus was sent into your world by God. You know the message that God sent to the angels of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ? You know what has happened in the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, of the baptism? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, allowing him to heal those, even those who were under the power of the devil? Now, Cornelius, he had apparently studied the Old Testament. He knew that God was going to send a Messiah to save Israel. It's quite possible that he was even aware of some of the prophecies that make a connection of the Messiah to the Gentiles. Prophecies such as Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. I will also make you a light for Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the end of the earth. Cornelius, he had heard about Jesus, his teachings, even some of the miracles that had taken place. And yet he did not know Jesus. He was not certain whether Jesus was the one that God had promised to send. Now, verse 38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Even as we look at the Old Testament, you see that these kings and leaders, they were anointed with oil in preparation for a task that God was calling them to do. King David, he was anointed as king of Israel. Oil, it typically represents the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing significant without the help of God, the Holy Spirit. I think that is one of the reasons that the Bible tells us that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, so that we would know that we too must receive the Spirit's help in order to live our lives for God. But why did God send Jesus into our world? Now, most of us can probably answer that, but let's see what God's message, his love letter for you, says. In John 3:16, it says that he gave his son because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus was sent into your world because God cares about you and because God loves you. If he didn't care, then Jesus would have never come. God sent Jesus because you needed help. One thing that shows how much God cares about you is that he really does seek to enter into your world. Not only did Jesus come to the world, but he entered into your world. I'm sure there are some of you, many of you, who can kind of, if you look a little closely back at your life, as you've been living through your life, you can see how God has sought to reveal himself to you personally. The way that he has interacted and been involved in your life, maybe bringing people into your life to help you on your journey. He brought you here today so that you could hear this message of his love for you. God has provided for you in ways that you may not even be aware of how he's looked out after you in the past. He cares enough about you to come into your little world to help you find a way into his. And you see, that leads us to the second point, which is that Jesus wants to help you. Scripture says, and how he, speaking of Jesus, went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. While Jesus was in this world, he was on a mission to help people like you and like me. If you read through the first four books of the New Testament, you know, the Gospels, you will find Jesus helping people who are in need. He spoke encouraging words to people who were discouraged, who did not have any hope. He did good for other people, always seeking their benefit. One of the purposes of the church is to serve others by meeting their needs. Since the church belongs to Jesus, it's no wonder that we find serving as a part of his mission, as a part of our mission. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." When people receive help from other people, they usually ask this question. This question comes up quite often. Why are you doing this? What do you want in return? What do you want from me? See, we're so used to strings being attached to help that is given out that we ask that question. Now, that question might not come up if you had an entitlement mentality. Say you were desperate and you knew you really needed this help, and I need this help, so you have to give it to me. I deserve this. We have a lot of that going on in our society today. People have this entitlement mentality. I deserve this. You need to do this for me. Well, there's no doubt that we all at some time or another need help. But we are far from deserving it. There's a little five-letter word. It is called grace. Grace refers to help or kindness that is given but is not necessarily deserved. You see, if we deserved it, then it would simply be a payment for something that we've already done. Did you know that God would be totally just? He would be totally right if he just wrote off the entire human race and said, "That's it, I'm done with them." The very people that God chose in the Old Testament to represent him to the rest of the world, those people who were his chosen people, who were supposed to be an example to the world around them, they became just like them, doing the exact same things that the rest of the world was doing. There was no difference in them. And so God tells Moses, "I'm going to wipe out the whole nation of Israel and start over with just Moses." Moses, he goes and he pleads with God to spare the people. It is only by God's grace that we receive his help. He wants to help us. He has the power to help us. He wants to help us live right. He wants to help us love right. He wants to set us free from every form of bondage that is out there. Verse 38 says that Jesus went around healing people, even those who were under the power of the devil. Those who were being oppressed by Satan, Jesus could free them. Jesus wants to help us become all that we were created to be. And the greatest help comes through the death of Jesus. And that is what our next point is all about. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins. Peter went on as he's talking to Cornelius and the rest of the people gathered there, and he said, they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Now, you can read about the execution of Jesus in the last few chapters of the Gospels. It is actually called the Passion of Christ. Why did Jesus allow himself to be executed? Do you realize that Jesus had the power to step down off the cross? He could have escaped at any time. He could have done away with all of the people who were persecuting him, who were against him. He had the power to call down legions of angels to come and fight on his behalf. So why did he not use it? The short answer is that he knew that his death was your only hope. Because nothing else could satisfy justice. One of the principles that we find in the Bible is that sin requires death, requires a payment. In the Old Testament, it was the sacrificial death of an animal that covered a person's sin. But in the New Testament, only the death of a perfectly sinless man would pay for another person's sin. Jesus Christ, he is the only one who has ever qualified for that. He is the only one who is qualified to pay the penalty for your sin. Only his life could be given in exchange for yours. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 15, he says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, Paul, he considered himself the worst of sinners because he had actually persecuted. He had been trying to destroy the very church that Jesus died for. But do you realize he's not alone? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can never be good enough in and of ourselves to approach God, to come before God. There is only one thing that gives us access into God's presence, and that is trusting that what Jesus did by his death on a cross for us was enough. Enough to take away our sins. If we believe that and we let Jesus lead our lives, then we can know that we can be with God forever, for all of eternity. But you see, that's not quite the whole story there. Our next point goes on and tells us more. Jesus rose again to give you life. Verse 40 says, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Now, if you study through or read through 1 Corinthians, Paul goes through and he makes a very strong point in the chapter that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then everything we do as Christians is meaningless. It's empty. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our sins aren't really forgiven. And why is that? Because Jesus said that he would rise from the dead, and if he did not rise, then he is a liar. And if he is a liar, then that would also make him an imposter. And if he was an imposter, then everything that we are trusting in is false. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are finished. We are done. Church is done. Christianity is done. Life is done. However, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus did rise from the dead. Peter says, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Now, Paul, he actually goes on and tells us that Jesus was seen by Peter, by the rest of the 12 disciples, by more than 500 men all at one time. By James, by all the other apostles, and last of all, by Paul himself. You know, when he was Saul on his way to Damascus and he had that encounter with Jesus? See, there is a tremendous amount of eyewitness evidence that is more than sufficient to show that Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death, and when he returns, he will finalize his victory over death, because death will never win again. This stuff, it's all in your mailbox. It's all in that love letter that we call a Bible. If you would open it, you can read about it. God wants you to know that he sent Jesus into your world to help you. Jesus died for your sins and he rose again because he was greater than death. Well, let's continue reading through our mail this morning just a little bit. God wants you to know more about Jesus and how important it is where you stand with Jesus. Because do you realize that Jesus will be your judge? Verse 42 says, God appointed as judge the living and the dead. Jesus has appointed judge over us. Now, I'm thinking it's a good thing to be in good standings with the judge, you know, to be on his good side. We will all have to give an account of our lives. We believe that true believers are exempt from the great throne of judgment when you go before God and God says, and then Jesus stands and says, wait, I paid for all that. But we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, better known as the Bema seat of God. And we will have to give an account of the things that we have done or haven't done here on this earth, but we will not face the great judgment. Peter's point in telling Cornelius and the rest of them about all of this, that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, it shows that Jesus was more than just a man. Yes, he was all man. He was 100% man, but do you realize he was also all God? 100% God. Jesus is the divine Son of God, and everybody will answer to him. But he will be totally fair. He will be completely just. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, it indicates that every person whose name is written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be judged according to what they have done here. If their name is not there, they will be judged and then they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Well, that makes me want to make sure that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do you get your name in that book? Well, the final point tells us that, and that is that Jesus wants to forgive you. Verse 43 says, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jesus wants to forgive you. All he asks from you is sincere repentance. It involves a change in your life. If we believe in Jesus, you know that he really is the judge of all people, then we will ask him to forgive us of all of the things, the wrong things that we have ever said or that we have ever done. If we really believe in Jesus, then we will ask him to change us so that we can do what is right. Jesus wants to forgive you. 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You've got mail. What will you do with it? Don't delete it. Don't let it get lost in the piles and piles of junk mail that you receive. Don't ignore it. Read it. Think about it. Ask questions if you need to. Somehow reply to it. One nice thing about email, if you get email, there's a little button up there. All you have to do is hit reply. And then you start typing. You start writing, and you can reply instantly. One nice thing about prayer is that all you have to do is start talking to God, and he's listening. Even if you have not yet made a commitment to him, I believe you can still hit reply and talk to God. Saul certainly did. When Jesus Christ appeared before him, Saul says, "Lord, who are you?" If you're not sure about who God is, ask him. He listens to you. He'll dialogue with you. Ask other people who already know him. Ask them to help you discover who God is. Your mail, this love letter, this message from God, it says that Jesus was sent to your world to help you. It says that he loves to meet needs, giving gifts, providing for those who are in need, healing those who are sick, or even perhaps under the power of the devil. Jesus was sent into your world to die as a payment for your sins, to rise from the dead. This same Jesus will be your judge, and someday you will have to answer to him at the end of time. This same Jesus wants to forgive you. He is on your side. He wants to welcome you into a loving relationship with his Father. The question is, will you read it? Will you listen to it? Because
you've got mail.